I'm going back at you. Oh me, hallelujah. Well, I hope everyone, all of you had a good evening. I hope you got your nap in. It was kind of in a way that this evening was kind of a short afternoon. It seemed like it's getting shorter and shorter. All right. Well, if you will, turn to the book of Jonah tonight. But we need to just thank the Lord for His mercy, thank Him for His grace. And we need to thank Him for our health. I know sometimes we complain about it, and I complain about mine, but I need to be thankful that I'm still able just to be able to get up. I may have to walk with a cane, and I may kind of feel kind of bad, but hey, still need to give Him praise and glory for it. That because I've come to realize some things. The reason He brings about pain, and the reason He brings about sickness upon us, I believe is so we can depend on Him more. Because if not, we was a whole lot of things we wouldn't even depend on Him for. But we need to depend on Him for everything. Not just this and that, but everything. But here in the book of Jonah, chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading several verses there. And then I may skip around, I don't know yet. Depend on the time, but I want to try to bring you a message tonight on the kindness that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. The kindness that He can give us. Our Father, we want to thank You, Lord, now at this time. Father, that You will be with me as I read Your precious word. And Father, now the message that I feel like You've laid upon my heart, I pray, Father, that it is the message for the hour. And Lord, that You may touch me from on high, God, that I can feel Thy presence. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, now, as the Holy Spirit, we feel that little cool breeze. And Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father God, that He's walking and He's doing on what He knows the best thing to do for Your children, Lord. And Father, we ask God that You'll just help us tonight to bring this message, Father, in a way, Father, where individuals can be able to grow the grace and the knowledge and the truth of God's Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Jonah chapter 4 says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. You know, that word angry is in the Bible a lot. And we know that we've got a verse of scripture over there speaking to the Christians. It's speaking to us, I think. I don't think it's speaking to the sinner. I think it's speaking to the Christian. And it's the verse that where it says, be ye angry and sin not. Be ye angry and sin not. You know, in thinking about it, how can we be angry and not sin? but we can. You know, it's just like the Lord Jesus Christ. When he went into the temple or the synagogue that day, and when he seen the individuals in there gambling and casting lots for the coat that the individual had probably left there or whatever. We know that Jesus knew no sin. We know that Jesus could not sin. But yet, he got angry at times. He got angry. And he got angry at the individuals that was casting lots, had a gambling. There was gambling there within the temple. And that was wrong. That was wrong back then, and it's wrong today. Today, they may not come in and maybe have some money and go downstairs and maybe bet on this and bet on that. But yet, they'll come in and they'll set aside this and that to go about doing what they want to do. I know in the next, probably within the next month, sometime right after the first of the year, that there's going to be a whole lot of churches in Danville. That when the Super Bowl, when it comes about, and the church will be probably full, but they're not going to be full because the preacher's going to be preaching the gospel. It's going to be full because they have went out here and rented these widescreen TVs to where they can show the Super Bowl. To me, that's wrong. Even though if it was not no advertisement on it at all, which I know it's going to be advertisement, they're going to advertise the alcohol, the beverage. They're going to advertise some of the ladies. I need to back up. They're not ladies. But they're going to be advertising them to portray the sin of the world. That's wrong. You don't bring that into God's house. I don't care what kind of church it is, what kind of synagogue or what kind of temple it is. You could go up to the Jewish temple here in Danville. They don't allow it to come about. And they should not. No one should allow it. First of all, they made the mistake by taking a Sunday night service, taking the eyes off of God, and putting it upon a game. That is their idol. That is their idol. And their idol just is not just for that night. They've got other idols that they have created, and they're keeping it covered up. They can keep it covered up from me. They can keep it covered up from you. Don't make no difference. But they cannot keep it covered up from God. God knows all things. God sees all things. And God hears all things. So we cannot get by with what we want to get by with. But it says right here, and he was very angry. Jonah right here, he was angry because he knew that he wasn't going to Nineveh, he was going to Tarshish. Right here, it says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, a merciful, slow to anger, and a great and of great kindness and repentance thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take I, beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That sounds like Paul. But it's not Paul. Then said the Lord, doesn't thou will to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that he might be a shadow, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and washed in himself to die. Wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madeth it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between thy right hand and thy left hand, and also with much cattle. And back over in verse 2, it says down here, it says, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentance thee of the evil. Great kindness. The kindness of God. We have experienced the kindness of God because God has saved our soul. We have experienced the grace of God through His kindness. That's what we're living under today, is under grace. We're not living under no law, but we're living under grace. And we're living under it by His great kindness. I love it when they always speak about the great kindness of God. And then over in the book of Titus, it talks about the great. It talks about being saved. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing to be saved. It's nothing shallow about it, but it's great. The kindness of salvation was chosen for me and for you. It was chosen for the whole world. What's that song that they sing? The whole world is in my hands. He cannot pluck, the devil cannot pluck me out of His hands. He cannot pluck you out of His hands. He wants to, but he can't do it. The devil knows there's certain things that he cannot do. But there are certain things that he can do. And he tries his very best at it. And I believe the first thing that the devil will attack us with is not a heart. It's a mind. See, the devil will play mind games with you. He will play these kind of games. That's what he thinks that the essence of life is just a game. But it's not just a game. My life is just not a game. Your life is not just a game. Why? Because Jesus Christ went to Calvary. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for me and you. That's the reason it's not a game. That's the reason. That is the main reason that the devil tries his very best to get to our mind. But see, the Word of God, I think it's over in the book of Peter somewhere. One in chapter, it's either first Peter, second. I forgot which one it is. But it's talking about we must have the mind of Christ. We must have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have that mind? And how do we have it in a way where Satan cannot come in and attack our mind? It's when God's speaking to us, when we're reading His Word, when He speaks to us, and when I'm talking to Him through prayer. The devil knows that he cannot get to us as long as we're in communication with God. Either we're communicating with God or God's communicating with us. The devil knows that he cannot get to our mind that way. as long as that's going on. We also, with the kindness of salvation, we can also see the merciful of God, the mercy of God, where He's called us, where He's chosen us for Faith Baptist Church, where He's chosen us to where we can be here to serve Him and to do what He has asked us to do. He has chosen us. He wants us. He wants me. And He wants you. He don't want 10% of my life. He wants everything that I have. He wants me just to turn everything that I have over to Him. And then when I do that, then He's going to turn him and says, Don, and says, you know, I'm going to let you have some of this back. Because I know it'll help you. It'll help you along your way. I just want to see if you would surrender it all to me. That's what He wants to do. He just wants us to be able to surrender it to Him. And if we'll do it willingly, therefore it's for His honor and His glory and what His Son done at Calvary. If we'll do it for that reason, then He'll come back and He'll give us twofold, fourfold, sometimes a hundredfold. But we have to do it with a giving heart. With a giving heart. There's many a times since I've become a Christian, since I've been saved, there's been many a times when God has asked me to do something and I did not do it. And when I did not do it, something always interfered with my life. Something always interfered. Why? Because I didn't obey Him. You know, it's either we're gonna obey God or we're gonna obey the devil, Satan. We're going to obey the one or the other. And you cannot get up. You can't say, Lord, I just can't do that today. You just surrendered to the devil that day. No, I didn't surrender to the devil. I didn't say, devil, I'm going to do it for you. It's not with two masters. We're going to serve one or the other. You cannot get on the fence and straddle it. Because once you get on the fence and you straddle that fence, you don't go nowhere. You're going to sit right there where you're at. When you come off of the fence, either you're going to walk with God or you're going to walk with the devil. The kindness of His strength. The kindness of His strength. Here in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. The Book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew thy strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint.
They're waiting. That's what we need to do. We need to wait on the Lord. And if we wait on the Lord patiently, He's going to do the unexpected. He's going to surprise us. And how many of you like surprises? I do. I like when somebody can surprise me with this or that. And I know when the Lord surprises me, it's going to be better than any other surprise that I've ever got. Why? Because it's going to be good. It's just like this morning. I don't forget who it was, man. Well, somebody, I don't know who it was, man. Says, so this morning, what a great number of people we did. Still had many more pews that we still didn't have a living soul on. But we had more than we had last Sunday morning. We need to be thankful for what God does allow us to be a part of. And we should never, ever think about what we have done. We have done nothing. We have done nothing. The only thing that you do when you go out and visit and you invite people to church, you didn't do it. The Lord done it. The Lord done it through you. He uses man to get His work done. If He don't use man, His work will not get done. The kindness of His strength, the kindness of His song, the kindness of His song. You remember Paul and Silas? When they was out here preaching the gospel, then they was locked up. They weren't locked up like the city jail down here was like, or the city farm's like. They weren't locked up in a place like that, where they could lay down on a cot or bed and rest at night. No, they was in a place where they could not get no rest. So they decided among themselves how they was going to get their rest. How did they get their rest? By by singing about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That right there is what kept them going. That right there is what enthused them to go and to be able to go to the next day. Because they was like us. Even Paul was like us. Paul, I mean, he knew seven different types of language. I mean, he knew them down to the very core of it. But in all of Paul's writings, it's simple. Paul did not go out here and use these eloquent words. These words where other people won't understand. That's just like a preacher getting up here and preaching. And if he's just up here preaching and he's got all the education and he's got all the college and everything, and he can speak all these other different words and things and know the meaning of them and everything. But if he speaks them to me, and if I don't know the meaning of them, to me, he's speaking to me in tongues. And what they call the tongue movement today, but they don't know what the tongue movement is all about. They take it out of context. They put their little things in on it. The kindness of his song. Paul and Silas, they sung about the Lord Jesus Christ. They sung about his death. They sung about the blood that he shed at Calvary. And as they were singing, I believe they got a little happy with it. I really do. But what happened? The cell that they was in, the doors just swung open, not just in their cell, but in all the other cells. The doors just started popping open. Paul and Silas, they come up with a song over almost 2,000 years before Elvis and Johnny Cash and them come about it, the Jailhouse Rock. They don't even know anything about the Jailhouse Rock. Why? They made a song of it. I believe they got the inspiration for the Jailhouse part and the title for it. But they use it to make money from it. You should not do anything in the name of Jesus with the motive of getting rich. You say, well, preacher, say, well, why does the church pay you every week? This is my day of rest. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's my day of rest. I don't come in here for money. I don't come and preach for popularity. I don't come and preach for money. I don't come and do these things. I come for one reason. Because I love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm not supposed to be the only one that go out here and do the visiting. I'm not supposed to be the only one to go out here and go to the hospital. We're all supposed to do that. I've even had preachers say, I don't understand you. Why do you go out and you visit as much as you visit? That was when I was able. Why do you go to hospital? I see you at the hospital 2 or 3 times a week. Why do you go? You need to stay home. You need to read the Bible. You need to pray. That's what the word says for the pastor of the church, the under shepherd. You're right. But before I became an under shepherd, I was a Christian. And as a Christian, that's what I'm supposed to do. Supposed to go out here and visit. Supposed to go to the hospital and visit. Supposed to go and visit everybody I can. Just because I end up, the Lord start calling me and want me to be the pastor of a church. That did not give me the right to say, well, I can't visit no more. That don't give me the right. That does not give me the right. If anything, every pastor should be enthused that they can do the work for God. It's only by His kindness to kindness of God. We need to really think about the kindness of God. It's not just a mere kindness, it's a great kindness. I've said time and time again, as long as we keep praying, like I believe that you are and I am, we're going to end up seeing more people in a church. I thank the Lord for the ones who come out this morning. I don't know if they'll be back. But they said they enjoyed it. That's all we can do. But I know one thing. As far as I'm concerned, they can't find no better church than this church right here. Where the people love one another. And where the kindness of God is at through His people. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we ask God that you will go with us. Father, to us safely to our homes. And Father, we just pray, Lord God, that you just help us this week. That if we go, that you will lead us to the individuals that we need to go and we need to visit, Father. Yes, Father, because there are people out here that is hurting. And Father, we do thank you. We thank you for the message, the kindness that you've showed us, Lord. Now, Father, allow us and help us to show the kindness to the people that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.